So our reading is John chapter 19, if you've closed your Bibles, or it's page 1087. And the title of this meditation is, Don't You Realize That I Have Power? So John chapter 19, verses 1 to 11. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they slapped him in the face. Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, Look, I am bringing him out to you, to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him. When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, Here is the man. As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, Crucify, crucify. But Pilate answered, You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him. The Jewish leaders insisted, We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God. When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. Where do you come from? He asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. Do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said, Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? Jesus answered, You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. So Pilate failed in his attempt to get Jesus released when the Jews demanded that Barabbas was released instead. Pilate's real motive was to secure what he needed, to release himself from the predicament he was in. He needed to get himself off the hook. He didn't want blood on his hands. And so the dialogue continues, but it's not much of a dialogue, more of a confrontation. On the one hand, we have Pilate, who is determined, at whatever cost, to maintain his hold on the limited power that he has. And we have Jesus, whose power and authority is infinite, but he will not use it. His sole purpose is to be obedient to his Father. What a contrast. Pilate wants to preserve his position and his power. Jesus has already given up his rightful place with his Father. To use Paul's words in his letter to the Philippians, Jesus made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. And now he is willing to surrender his life and endure the agony that he will have to go through, to honour his Father and to be the means by which all who call on his name might be saved. Pilate tries another ploy. Will the Jews be content and back off if Jesus gets some rough treatment? So Jesus is flogged. The Romans had three levels of flogging. I think it's most likely that at this point Jesus received the least severe measure of brutality. It's inconceivable that he would have been in any fit state to be questioned had he been exposed to the most brutal and vicious level three flogging. He probably did receive that when Pilate finally handed him over to be crucified. But even level one would have caused immense pain. And then there was the crown of thorns. The thorns used were probably from the date palm, Their spikes were very thick and very hard and could be incredibly up to 12 inches long. Medically, the thorns possess toxins that cause inflammation, bruising and tissue damage. And it would be foolish to think that this crown was placed gently on Jesus' head. It was designed to inflict excruciating pain by being rammed on. The mocking of Jesus was reinforced by the robe placed on him, probably no more than an old sheet. It had to be purple, of course, to denote royalty and to make the mock coronation more authentic. But let us think about the crown of thorns. There was a twofold irony in that crown. Jesus truly was a king, and not simply the king of the Jews, but the king above all kings, the king of kings. But there was also an irony that the crown was made out of thorns. Thorns are associated with curses, death and dying, pain and sorrow and sin. Through his death, Jesus will take on all sin and pain and deliver the world from death. And as the soldiers mock Jesus with their chants of "Hail, King of the Jews," they cannot resist the temptation to slap him in the face. And when they feel satisfied with the pain and torment inflicted for the time being, they hand him back to Pilate to bring him before the Jews, reaffirming Pilate's belief that Jesus is not guilty of any crime, let alone a crime deserving a death penalty. It seems as though Pilate had a glimmer of hope, just a glimmer. He was probably clinging on to the possibility that the Jews would now have some pity on this bruised, bleeding, and broken man that was now before them. But no sooner has Pilate uttered the words, "Here is the man," than the Jews affirmed their demand that Jesus should be crucified. Their words ring out, "Crucify, crucify." It was not what Pilate wanted to hear. He was forced to concede defeat. They would get their way, but it was their way, not his. For the third time, he states that he can see no grounds for any charge against Jesus. He is not having any part in the crucifixion. "You take him and crucify him," he tells them. John does not record the washing of hands that Matthew does, but by his words, Pilate is trying to disclaim any responsibility for Jesus' death. And yet his words do not give him a clear conscience. We know that he is scared, for we read that he becomes even more afraid by what the Jewish leaders say next. The Jewish leaders say in verse 7, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." The law to which they were referring was almost certainly the instruction which God gave to Moses. We read that in Leviticus 24. "Anyone who uses the name of the Lord blasphemously is to be put to death." But the Jewish leaders chose not to make any mention of all the proof that he actually was the Son of God, his power in performing all his miracles, and the authority with which he taught. They had overwhelming evidence that Jesus was not guilty of blasphemy, but truly was the Son of God. Pilate was very troubled. Perhaps he saw something in Jesus, in his demeanour and his calm spirit, even after the flogging and mocking. And perhaps he realised that he was no ordinary man. Was it not just possible that he really was more than a man? And so Pilate makes a last-ditch attempt to find out more about Jesus. He is looking for anything that might give weight to his case to release him. And more importantly, to get himself out of the situation he's in. But Pilate doesn't get the cooperation he expects. He is accustomed to prisoners pleading with him, willing to do anything to get Pilate on their side, but not Jesus. His arrest and this so-called trial have not taken him by surprise. Jesus knows the outcome. He sees no need to cooperate by answering Pilate's question, "Where do you come from?" It's easy to imagine Pilate's exasperation, even anger, as he questions Jesus, "Do you refuse to speak to me?" And then he angrily blurts out, "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus replied by explaining the true nature of Pilate's power. He did not deny that he had power, but he explained where it truly came from. Verse 11, Jesus answers, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." We cannot be certain to whom Jesus is referring, most likely Caiaphas or Judas. But hopefully Pilate picked up the clear implication that he himself was guilty. And the one who had never sinned and had all power and all authority determined to follow the way of the cross. We are so thankful that he did.